This is ProBlogger.
Hey there, it's Darren Rouse here from ProBlogger, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 134 of the ProBlogger podcast, where today I want to help you to decide whether you should be starting on that new social network that everyone else seems to be on at the moment, or whether you should start that new medium, whether it be a podcast or a YouTube channel or something else that you've been wondering about lately. You know, as bloggers, we're constantly bombarded with choice as to how we can spend our time. And there really is an unlimited amount of things that we could be doing to promote our blog and to support the business that we're building. But not all of those things are right for every one of us. And so today I want to go through some areas that we can ask questions in to help us to determine where is the best place to really focus our energies. You can find today's show notes where I will have some further reading for you at problogger.com/podcast/134. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ProBlogger Plus newsletter. If you go over to problogger.net/ideas, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter where we'll send you all our latest tips and tutorials, podcast episodes, and everything else that's going on at ProBlogger. And if you do sign up there at problogger.net/ideas, we'll give you 6 months of content ideas. Every month for the next 6 months, we'll send you a little email with 30 different ideas, 180 ideas in total over 6 months, which will give you some ideas for blog posts that you could be writing on your blog. Again, that is at problogger.net/ideas.
Creating great content. Finding an audience. Building engagement. Monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
So this morning I got an email, a very common email, from a reader over at ProBlogger. And it was from a blogger who was wondering whether they should jump onto Facebook Live. Everyone's been talking about Facebook Live. It's an emerging medium, I guess, that many bloggers have been experimenting with lately. I'm seeing a lot more of it in my Facebook feed, and this blogger had noticed the same thing. They'd noticed other people in their niche, particularly getting into it, and wondered whether they should too. In the email, of course, there was some tension. You know, if I get onto that, what should I give up to be able to do it? And this is a very common email that I get, not just about Facebook Live, but about podcasting. Should I start a podcast? About YouTube, should I start a YouTube channel? Should I get onto Snapchat? Should I be on Pinterest? Should I be on Instagram? Should I be blogging on Medium? All these social networks and different mediums that are at our fingertips as opportunities, but also potentially as distractions from what it is that we're trying to build. So these questions come in thick and fast over at ProBlogger via email and in the comments that we get. And so today I wanted to really delve into, how do you make that decision? How do you make that decision about where you should be spending your time? You know, as I said in the introduction, these are opportunities. These are incredible opportunities. You know, jump into the right social network just at the right time, and it could be the difference between your blog having amazing success and failing. But these things can also be incredible distractions. So how do you make that decision? Today, I want to get you to consider three different areas that you might want to ponder to make that decision. You really need to choose the right one that is right for your audience, for your content, and for you. And over the next 15 or so minutes, I really want to delve into each of those three things: your audience, your content, and you, and to put some questions to you that you can ask to help you to work out whether that new social network is the right one for you. Is it the right one for your audience? Is it the right one for your content? And is it the right one for you? Now, I'm going to go through a whole heap of different questions here, and they will all be summarized over in the show notes at problogger.com/podcast/134, and you can get the full transcript over there as well. So let's dig into those. The first one is your audience. Is that new social network or that new medium that you are thinking about doing right for your audience? Now, there's some pretty obvious examples that have been given many times before. Perhaps one of the most common ones is, you know, LinkedIn. Should you be jumping into LinkedIn? Should you start a blog and be producing content on LinkedIn? Well, the obvious answer is that if your audience is a business focused audience, then perhaps LinkedIn is a good place for you to be engaging. And the same can be said for different social networks. Traditionally, Pinterest is seen as a great place to engage if you have lots of visual content and if your audience is women, although I do know some big blogs that do very well that are focused on men over on Pinterest as well. And so that is something you really need to do some research on. So is your audience on these social networks? Are they using the mediums that you are considering using as well? Now, here you really need to dig a little bit deeper than just, do they have an account in these places? That's not what I'm really asking here. You know, a lot of people have a Twitter account, but do they use that Twitter account? And why are they using it? And so what I'd encourage you to ponder here is, you know, where do they have accounts, but also where are they most active? One of the questions that we ask in the surveys that we do is, you know, where do you have an account? And so we get our readers to tell us all of the different social media accounts that they are signed up for. And then we ask them to tell us how often they use each of them. And so, you know, are you using them daily? Are you using them weekly? Are you using them monthly? Or do you never use them? And that really gives you a lot more information about how active the people are there. So how active are they on those networks? How long do they stay per session? You may need to dig in and do a bit of research on that, but there are a lot of studies that have been done into the session times that people typically have on different social networks. I remember talking to one of the founders of the live streaming service Blab, and they found that people, when they got onto Blab, were spending hours there. Typically, whereas people on Twitter sort of dip in and out and have fairly short bursts of activity there. Facebook might be a little bit longer. So, you know, how long are they staying there? That will reveal to you a whole heap about that social network. And what are they doing there? You know, what is their intent on that social network? And these are all things that you can do by surveying your readers and talking to your readers. You know, where are you active? What are you using these networks for? And I think particularly it's really interesting to see what they are using it for. So are they on that social network to catch up with friends? Are they there doing research for gathering of information? Are they there sharing what they're doing, sharing links? These things present different opportunities for us. People's intent, their habits, how long they're staying on these social networks will help us to work out whether it's a place that we should be investing time. I'll give you a quick example. Over at Digital Photography School, we did a bit of a survey of our readers and asked them, you know, where are they spending time? We found that Facebook is one of the places that a lot of our readers do spend a lot of time. When we asked them what they did in those places and what they did in Facebook in particular, we found out that a lot of our readers, Digital Photography School readers, were sharing their photos on Facebook. And so one of the things that we've been experimenting with over the last little while is a Facebook group that is purely there for the purpose of sharing photos. So people can join it and they can share a photo just for the sake of sharing it, or they can share it with the question, you know, could you critique my photo? And then the community will critique the photo. And we found that group has really worked very well, but we would never have started that group unless we'd found out why people were on the network and what their habits were there, what were they doing there. Now, that group doesn't appeal to all of our readers. Not all of our readers like to share photos, but there's been a segment of our readers that has been there. So why are your readers on that social network? Are they there purely for personal reasons? Maybe they're there just to catch up with their friends. That presents a bit of a challenge, and that may actually be a bit of a red flag that maybe you don't want to get onto that network to sell. Maybe you do want to get onto that network just to be conversational and to build community and to build engagement, because people are there to engage with their friends and to find community. If your readers are there searching for information, are they there to research? So a lot of people go onto Pinterest to research and to get ideas. So that may be a really good place, particularly for bloggers who have reviews of products or how-to content, because people are there with the intent of learning something or gathering information. So do some analysis. Where are your readers hanging out? How long are they hanging out in those places? What are they doing in those places? What's their intent when they're on those places? That will give you some hints as to whether it's a fruitful place for you and whether it might fit with what your intentions are as well.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Another question you might want to ask is, it kind of taps into where your audience is. Are there other people in your niche using that social network or that medium? Now, you want to be a little bit careful here, because the answer yes could reveal a couple of things. It could actually reveal that it's a good place, or it could actually reveal that it's too crowded as a place as well. So do some analysis. You know, are other people in your niche, other bloggers, other forums, other influencers in your niche using that medium or that social network? And if they are, how are they using it? And what sort of results are they getting there? If they're not there, is there a reason for that? You know, there may be no one else in your niche on this social network, and that might present an opportunity for you, but it also may be a bit of a red flag as well, because it hasn't worked there for other people. So you might want to look at inactive accounts there as well. Have there been people there and given up? How much work does it take the other people that are there? You know, what types of things are they doing there? Are they using automation, or do they have a very personal kind of account in those places? How often are they using it? So what's the frequency of the content that they're producing and the updates that they're doing? Look at the different types of posts they might be doing, the different types of content that they're producing, and how well they have gained traction with those that are engaging with them there. It's probably best if you can find someone else in your niche that's willing to talk about it, and a lot of other bloggers in your niche will be willing to share their experience. It's very collaborative in a lot of niches, but you may just need to do some analysis and follow some of the big accounts that are relevant to your particular niche and just watch what they're doing there, what traction they're getting. You can learn a lot simply by following people and watching to see what they do. Now, again, you want to be a little bit careful about just emulating what other people do or copying what they do. And you also want to be looking for opportunities of things that people aren't doing as well. And that may present some opportunities to differentiate yourself by trying some new things there. The last question I'd get you to ask in regards to your audience is the network or is the medium trending up? Or is it trending down? At the moment, we're seeing networks like Snapchat continuing to trend up. We're seeing other networks like Twitter sort of maybe plateauing, and some people might even say it's sort of trending down at the moment. We're seeing tools like Medium still seeming to grow. We're seeing YouTube, I think, still presenting real opportunities as well. So you might want to do some analysis there. And we're seeing other networks like Google Plus kind of fade away. So you want to really think about, you know, how big is the network, and the overall size of it is another factor, I guess, to consider. But is it something that's going to go away? You really don't want to be investing your time into a network that has already passed its heyday. And ideally, I guess, you want to position yourself into a network that is about to really go mainstream. And so bloggers that jumped onto Snapchat a year or so ago now really were positioning themselves for, I guess, a tsunami of good things to happen for them as well there. So all of those questions are really about your audience. Where are they? What are they doing in those places? That's some really good questions to ask. But that's not enough. Don't just ask those questions. The next area that I want to really dig into now is your content. Is the new medium, is the new network right for the content that you're producing? And the first question I want to put to you here is, does it suit your topic? Does the new network, does the medium suit your topic? So again, let me give you an example from my own situation, my photography blog, Digital Photography School. It's obviously a very visual blog. We're talking about photography. We're talking about images. And so we've learned the hard way over the years that any kind of medium, any kind of network that has a visual component is much more suitable for us. So blogging itself, we can have images in our blog posts. YouTube is one that could be potentially big for us. We've chosen to this point not to have a YouTube account, but it's one that we really wrestled with over the years and would like to do at some point, because it's a great place to illustrate particularly how to process photos. And so there's been a lot of YouTube accounts that have done particularly well in that space. Instagram obviously is another interesting space for us, and one that we've been investing a bit more time into recently. It's very visual. There's some challenges there that I'll talk about in a moment though. Pinterest is one that we've had some success with over the years. Facebook, we've had a lot of success with the fact that you can share images there alone, or that you can put images into to the content that you're producing there is really great. Google Plus in its heyday was really good for us as well because there's lots of big, beautiful images. Twitter has been okay for us as well because you can use images. So those types of mediums where you can have visuals really suits the topic of our content as opposed to podcasting. We have talked as a team about podcasting as a network, but one of the reasons I decided not to go down that path, at least in the short term, is that it doesn't really lend itself to visual content very well, unless you want to do video, which is a whole other beast. And whilst there have been some successful photography podcasts, a lot of them talk more about gear rather than techniques and teaching people how to take better photos, which is something that we're more into. And so that's been something that we've resisted for a while. ProBlogger, on the other hand, a podcast works quite well for ProBlogger because I'm talking a lot about ideas and you don't need to see the things that I'm talking about to get value out of what I'm doing. At least I hope not. Anyway, so does the topic suit the medium? Does it suit the network that you are considering? Also, does the style or the voice of the content that you're producing suit that network or medium as well? So I teach people, both of my blogs, it's all about teaching. And so we want to work in networks where people have the intent of learning, but also that suit teaching as well. And so for ProBlogger, I think podcasting is a good tool for us to be using, as is blogging itself, because people really can learn by listening and by reading. And so that suits the style of what I'm doing. Again, digital photography school being more visual, we've invested more time into some of those visual forms as well. Also, I guess on digital photography school, it's very much about a teaching people and it's about taking people through step-by-step content. And so the blog itself as a medium has worked very well for us there as well.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, another question that you might want to ponder when it comes to the content and whether it suits the network that you're considering is about repurposing. You know, sometimes you can start something new and then use the content that you produce in that new thing in other places. And that's a really great investment of time. For example, Facebook Live. So if you invest time in Facebook Live, you can then take the video that you shot for Facebook Live and use it in other places. You could embed that video into a blog post. You could take the audio from that video and use snippets of that in a podcast. You could get the video that you produce transcribed and use that as a blog post as well. You could take the points that you are making in the video that you do and get them put into a slide share. So create some slides about the things that you're doing. So there's opportunities there to use that content in the new thing in other places. And that is a great investment of time. And so I would be considering that. The other thing that you could consider is the flip side. Could you use content that you've already produced somewhere else and then repurpose it into the new thing that you are doing? So if you don't have a Facebook page yet, I know most bloggers do already, but for instance, if you didn't, you probably as a blogger already have a whole heap of stuff that you could be sharing on that Facebook page. And so you don't have to come up with completely new stuff all the time. It may actually be a really simple way to get into Facebook. Another good example of that is this podcast. There's been a number of episodes of this podcast that have been based upon blog posts that I wrote for 4, 5, 6 years ago that I've then updated and put into the form of a podcast. And so repurposing is something that I would be considering with the new mediums and the new networks that you might be engaging in as well. The last area that I would encourage you to think about when you're considering a new medium or a new network is it right for you? We've talked about, is it right for your audience? Is it right for your content? But is it right for you? The first question to ponder with regards to is it right for you is, does it suit your style of presenting? You're only really going to know that by giving it a go. So for me, again, to use this podcast as an example, I thought podcasting would be something that I would enjoy and that I would be reasonably okay at because I've had some experience in public speaking before, but I didn't really know that until I started it. I knew pretty quickly, though, that it would be something that I would enjoy, and that did suit my presenting, and that gave me energy. And I think it's really important to choose to engage in spaces that give you energy and that you feel good about, because that will come through in the content that you produce there and the energy that you bring to those places. There have been a few times where I've thought, you know, it'd be really great to get into this new social network. So Snapchat for me was one which I thought there was potential there. You know, my audience is there. Some of my audience are there. It does suit some of the content that we produce, particularly on Digital Photography School. But do you know what? I don't really enjoy it. And so it's been something that I've dabbled in, but I've never really thrown myself fully into it because I don't think it really suits me as such. And it doesn't fit the current time availability that I have as well. So some of those other types of things. So, you know, does it suit your style of presenting is the first question. And the second one is, does it fit with your current goals? You know, your blog, your business is going to go through different stages of a life cycle. And at different stages of that life cycle, you will need to do different things to help to build your business. You know, what is the big priority for you right now in your business? Is it finding a new audience? Is it building community? Is it monetization? Should you be spending your time developing a product? Should you be doing any of these particular types of things? They will each mean that you should be focusing your energy on different types of things. And different social networks will each have their strengths and weaknesses depending upon the stage that you're in. Let me give you an example. If you are just starting a blog right now, maybe 2 weeks ago you started a blog. You're probably in a phase where you need to invest a whole heap of time into creating content for your blog. That's one of the things that you should be really focusing on right now. And you may need to do that at the expense of some of the other opportunities that are around you right now, because you need to build up an asset, a library, an archive of good, solid content. But the other thing that you need to be doing in the early days of your blog is finding new readers. And so it may make some sense for you to start to engage in some of the newer emerging forms of social media, where there's perhaps a little bit less competition, where you can establish yourself as the go-to person in your particular niche. And so it may make sense for you to jump onto Snapchat because you need to get more eyeballs. And that's a place where there's a lot of people at the moment, and there's perhaps less competition than a place like Facebook. And so you really need to ask yourself, you know, what's the priority for my business right now? You know, I did a podcast a year ago, probably now, about Michael Hyatt deciding to get off Periscope. And one of the things that I said about him getting off Periscope that I thought was a good thing is that he doesn't need a whole heap of new readers for his blog right now. He's already got a big list. He needs to probably focus more attention on building a product and monetizing it and building community with the readers he's already got. And there are other networks that are already working for him that he probably just needs to spend more time focusing upon because he doesn't need those new readers. And I thought Periscope at the time was particularly good for finding new readers. So what are your current goals? Do the new things that you're considering lend themselves to those goals? There are times where we just need to buckle down and work on what is working for us already rather than establishing new things. And there are other times where new things are perhaps more suited to our goals. So, you know, does it fit with your current goals?
How to build and monetize your blog. This is Pro Blogger.
Another question to ask is, can you leverage the new thing to build your home base? Can you leverage that new thing? Can you leverage Snapchat? Is it going to actually help you to build your business, and can you leverage it and to get people onto your email list or over to your blog? Some social networks, it's easier to leverage them than others. Some of the social networks are very hard to get people away from the network itself because they're such engaging places. People just spend the whole time on there. And so a user of that social network may not ever visit your blog. They may never sign up to your email newsletter. And whilst you may be able to engage them in that space, are you able to get them to your home base? You know, ultimately, the sustainability of your business hinges not on what you do in the short term on that social network, but on whether you can hook people into a long-term relationship with you. You know, these new emerging social networks, they may come and go, and a lot of them won't be here in 2 or 3 years. So what's going to happen? Are you going to start a relationship that will continue beyond the life of that social network? And so really, one of the things I'm asking myself is, you know, is the investment of this time going to help to build my business in 10 years, or is it just going to create a whole heap of buzz in the short term? Can I leverage those people and hook them into my email list? For me, my email list is number one. If I can't get people onto my email list from the new social network, then I'm going to really strongly consider whether it's worth my time doing it. Can I get them to visit my blog? Can I get them to buy my products? These are things that are not, they're not the be-all and end-all, but they're important if I want to build a sustainable business. Is it just going to be fun? And if it's just going to be fun, I'm not sure that it's going to be something that's going to help to build my business. Another question to ask when it comes to you, do you have the time? Do you have the time and the energy for a new thing? Now, if the answer is yes, I've got a whole heap of time on my hands, go for it. That's totally fine. Experiment with the new things. But if the answer is no, you either need to do one of two things. One, resist the temptation to do it. Or two, ask yourself, could I outsource or automate this new thing or something else in what I'm doing to free up some time? You don't have to personally engage in all the social networks that you jump onto. Some of them can be automated. I know for a fact a number of bloggers who do very, very, very well out of Instagram by using automation, but also using outsourcing and getting assistants in to create the posts that they do on Instagram. Podcasting, another good example. I cannot automate podcasting, but I can outsource the editing of my podcasts. And so that is one way that I can free up some time for myself. So do you have the time? Do you have the energy? And if the answer is no, is there potential to automate or to outsource some part of it or all of it? There are some great tools around that will help you to do that. You know, I've talked about Meet Edgar that we use to help run our Twitter accounts. There is some personal interaction that we do on our Twitter accounts, but some of it is automated as well, and that frees up time for some of the new things as well. And I guess alongside this question of do you have time or energy for the new thing, you should be asking, you know, what would you have to stop doing to start the new thing? And sometimes this is the crux of the matter for me. You know, if I'm going to get into Snapchat, what would I have to give up to be able to do that? I'd probably have to give up my podcast, or I'd have to give up my blog, or I'd have to give up Facebook. And am I willing to give up something that's already working to start something new? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. Another question to ask when it comes to you is, can you afford to play in that space? Can you afford to play in it? You know, some social networks, particularly the more established ones like Facebook, are in a stage in their kind of own life stage where they're charging people to play. And most bloggers now know that their Facebook pages are getting less organic reach and are less effective organically than they used to. And to engage in that space, you do need to start to consider at least paying. Same is happening now on Instagram. But some of the new social networks are still anything goes almost, and there's much more opportunity for organic use of those. And so that's another thing, I guess, to factor in. Is it getting to a stage in the life cycle of that particular network where you do need to pay to play? And if so, can you afford to do that? Are you willing to do that? And the last question I get you to ask when it comes to you is, how many other new things are you starting right now, or have you started in the last little while? You know, some bloggers I know have a habit of going all in on every single new thing that comes along. And they do so at the expense of the things that they're already doing. And they get to the point where they, you know, this week they're all in on Periscope, and next week they'll be all in on Snapchat, and next week they'll be all in on Facebook Live. And they don't really stick at anything for too long. And this means that they can end up either feeling overstretched by trying to do too many things, or they don't stick at things long enough to become established in those new things that they're doing. You know, it takes time and focus to build up a library of content on any new medium or social network. It takes time and focus to learn how to use that social network and to experiment with different types of content on it. It takes time and focus to establish credibility and to get traction in the new things as well. And so ask yourself the question, you know, are you starting lots of things at once? If so, you may need to pull back. And if you have started lots of things in the last 6 months, maybe your readers are starting to push back on that as well. You know, they don't know where to find you anymore, for example. You know, you don't have to do everything. It's probably a lot better to be active and doing an amazing job on one social network as long as it's the right one and you're achieving your goals there, than to be on everyone. Similarly, it's probably better to have one main medium, like your blog or your podcast or your YouTube account, whatever it might be, than to be doing them all. Sometimes I think there's a big argument for having focus. I typically only try to have one new thing on the go at any time. I find myself if I'm too distracted if I'm doing too many new things at once.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
A few last thoughts for you that hopefully you've already heard some of these themes, but I kind of think are really important. The first thing is keep in balance what you're currently doing that is working and starting new things. You know, if something is already working really well for you, you need to continue to invest a lot of time into that. Work at that thing as hard as you can for as long as it continues to work. If you're already getting amazing traction from Facebook, then just keep investing into Facebook. Now, you can still try some new things, but that's where your primary focus should be. If the blog itself is already bringing in lots of traffic from Google, then maybe that's enough for you right now. You need to focus on just serving that audience while that is working. Secondly, don't always be looking for the new and emerging trends at the expense of the old things, old in inverted commas, that actually are working. You know, for example, Facebook, email, SEO, these things are old. You know, SEO, search engine traffic, that's so old. But, you know, the reality is that most bloggers get most of their traffic from search engines. So maybe it would be much better use of your time to be optimizing your blog content for search engines and increasing your rankings than going to play on Snapchat. Maybe you should be investing your time in converting some of that search engine traffic into email subscribers. Maybe that's where you should be spending your time, creating opt-ins. Maybe you should be spending more of your time building autoresponders to serve the people who sign up to your newsletters. Maybe that's a better use of your time than the new cool thing that's just out that everyone's raving about. Maybe focusing upon the old stuff that actually works is a better use of your time than getting onto the new things. Now, there's got to be some balance here. I think if there can also be an argument that some bloggers ignore the new things and stubbornly hold on to the old things that don't work anymore. I remember back in the day talking to a blogger who said, "I am not getting onto Facebook because MySpace is still working for me." I haven't heard from that blogger for many years. Maybe they still have their MySpace account. I don't really know. You've got to hold that a bit of tension there. You know, sometimes you've got to pay attention to the new things, but don't do it at the expense of what's already working. That might be a little less cool, but still works for you. I guess for me, I'm always looking for the new thing, but I'm focusing most of my time on the thing that's already working. If you do want to try a new thing, treat it as an experiment. Allocate a small percentage of your time to the experiment. Put some boundaries around that new thing. Give yourself a deadline, perhaps. So, for example, when I started the Pro Blogger podcast, some of you will remember when I started it, I think it was June, July in 2015, I announced that I was going to do 31 podcasts, a season, a series. There were 31 shows, so it was all going to be over in a month. And I was pretty clear up front that I didn't know whether I would continue after that 31 days. It was a test. It was an experiment. It was a lot of work to get those 31 posts up, but I knew that I had an out if it didn't work, if I didn't find it energize me, if it didn't connect with my audience, and if I didn't get some signs that I was getting some traction. So you might want to announce to people that I'm going to do this new thing for a season and then see what I can learn. Similarly, I started a Facebook group last year. It was a Feel Gooder Facebook group. It was about health and well-being, and I said I was going to do it for 3 months. I decided at the end of those 3 months that I didn't really want to do that anymore. And because I'd been upfront with the people who joined that group that it was for a season, I didn't get any pushback on that. So sometimes setting yourself a deadline to do an experiment is a good thing, as long as you get those expectations right with people who may join in on that thing. Last thought for you. Most of the really successful people I know in blogging, in podcasting, most of them not all, but most of them focus on a small number of things and they work hard on those things rather than spreading themselves too thin. Now, as I'm saying that, I can think of a few people who are big players who seem to be doing everything. You know, they're on video, on Snapchat, they're on YouTube, they're on Facebook, they're doing all of the things. Those people, like Gary Vaynerchuk, for example, he has an insane amount of energy. He has much more energy than me, and he can sustain doing a lot of things. But he also has a team behind him. He has someone helping him to produce some of the videos that he's creating. And whilst he does do a lot of it himself, which is amazing, a lot of these people who seem to be everywhere have teams of people behind them. And a lot of them are repurposing content from one place to another as well. So I would really encourage you to focus and to bring some focus to what you're doing. Find out where your readers are. Experiment in those places. Find out where you can add most value, where you can play to your strengths, and then invest significant time into the places where you are seeing results. And don't do it at the expense of things that are already working for you. I really hope that something in what I've shared today has been helpful for you in making decisions about where you should be spending your time and energy. I would love to get your feedback on this one. I've put a lot of thought and time into preparing this particular episode, and so I'd like to know whether it hit the mark for you. You can head over to the ProBlogger show notes, problogger.com/podcast/134, where I'd love to get a comment from you. Just let me know if it's hit the mark for you, if you'd add something else to it. Let me know where you are focusing your time at the moment as a result of thinking about these types of things. I'd love to hear where you're getting traction as well in the different networks and mediums that you are engaging with. Again, it's problogger.com/podcast/134. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the ProBlogger Plus newsletter. It comes out every Tuesday, Wednesday, depending on where you are in the world. And it's just a really quick summary of all of the new content that we've published on the ProBlogger blog from our subject matter experts that we have in the different fields that we focus upon, and any new episodes that have come up on the ProBlogger podcast. We publish two of those every week. And so it's a great way to get that information. If you head over to ProBlogger.net/ideas, you can sign up and you'll also get 6 months of free content ideas for your blog. We'll send out a monthly PDF with 30 ideas every month that will stimulate some blog posts that you might want to write on your particular blog. Again, that's at ProBlogger.net/ideas.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Before I go, I want to give a big shout out and say thank you to Craig Hewitt and the team at Podcast Motor, who've been editing all of our podcasts for some time now. Podcast Motor have a great range of services for podcasters at all levels. They can help you to set up your podcast, but also offer a couple of excellent services to help you to edit your shows and get them up with great show notes. Check them out at podcastmotor.com. You're still here. As always, we'd love it if you would review the ProBlogger podcast on iTunes or whatever podcast network you are listening to us on. Head over to the iTunes store and search ProBlogger. Love you to subscribe there. But also, if you could give us a rating and a review, that would be fantastic. I do see every single one that comes in and read them all and get a lot of value out of that in shaping future podcasts as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat with you in the next episode of the ProBlogger podcast.